chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you may do that. If you haven't got a Bible or a phone with a Bible on it, and there are some Bibles at the back, please do help yourselves. Quick reminder then about that rather scary video. I did quite like that bird. I'm glad he sort of sanitized the pecking bit. But that lovely video we watched earlier, and it was good to have a look at that. And I'm not going to read the first part of the parable this morning, partly because the children explained it so very well. Did we think they explained it well? Anyone here wish they got a chocolate? I didn't see many hands up there. You know, mine was up, but I was being ignored for some reason. So, you know, you've probably heard very many sermons on this, over the years, on this very popular parable. And I won't ask how many have, because you might compare mine with theirs. But typically, a preacher will rephrase the four types of soil and will compare this to four types of human response. And then typically, he will challenge his hearers to search their own hearts and consider how we all respond to God's word. So there's my sermon, if you like, in a nutshell. So the preacher will ask questions like, are you faithful? And then you can think about that. And are you easily distracted? And you can think about that. Or do you give up? Or do you pay attention? Now, the problem with this approach is that actually it's rather individualistic. It's me and God. And actually, our Christian faith is not expressed as me and God. That's more of a Western add-on. Our Christian faith should be expressed in terms of you and me and God plus some others out there. Our faith is expressed not individualistically, but in terms of community, in terms of, if you like, corporately. And so today, what I want to do is to paint a series of word pictures to help each one of us look at this parable with fresh eyes. And in my word pictures, I'm going to describe to you four churches. Now, you won't recognize these churches. They are made up. Okay? What are they? Thank you, we're paying attention. So don't think, oh, he's talking about that church. I've been to that church. No, he's not. They are made up. But I hope that my word pictures will help you to think about with fresh eyes what this parable is talking about and will help us to apply its teaching to our lives. But before we do, we're going to start reading. I'm going to start reading from verse 13. Just skipping over the retelling of the story. So verse 13. And Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Amen. Oh, come on, be nice to me. Thank you very much. There we go. Okay, so here are my four churches. Number one. St. Judas of the Stony Path. Let me tell you about this church. St. Judas is an ancient church. But somehow, nothing seems to stick. When Alpha was popular, they advertised the course. But people only came for the food, and so they didn't run a second session. When Messy Church came along, they threw open their doors, but glue and glitter got everywhere. And they decided not to repeat that either. When Evangelism Explosion was all the rage, they called everyone together for some training. But no one could agree what to focus the message on. Should it be God's love or the cross or new beginnings or just a warm welcome? So they didn't actually go and tell anyone anything. At St. Judas, it seems as if they are always trying something new, but nothing seems to stick except the glitter. St. Janus was founded on the back of a revival. 400 people came together. They became Christians. They threw their energy into the work of God. And their congregation grew and grew. But then little by little, everything started to go wrong. The church down the road complained that they were poaching their members. And they asked, would you kindly stop advertising your meetings around our parish? And so they agreed. One of the elders was a school teacher, and he would chat about his faith in the staff room and in casual conversation with students. But then one of the school governors complained. He was told, you should keep your religion private, and you should stick to reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, reluctantly, he agreed. And when he shared this with the church, others considered that it would probably be wiser to follow his example. In its early days, St. Janus had a thriving youth and children's work. But then one day, a child was hurt when someone accidentally closed the door on him. Now, no one was to blame, and the parents accepted the apology. But a sense of unease began to spread around the church. And so they closed down the children's activities for the summer, as they did every year. But then, for some reason that no one could clearly define, the children's clubs didn't restart in September. By this point, the congregation had dwindled to less than 50. And those who remained were doing the work of 400. And they were exhausted. One day, a visiting preacher came along and urged the church to dig deep and tap into the resources freely offered by God's Holy Spirit. And people thanked him very politely for his message. But no one quite had the energy to put into practice what he had said. St. Janus. Well, if St. Janus was struggling, then St. Cesare's is thriving. They have all the mod cons you could possibly imagine. Air con in the auditorium. A Starbucks franchise in the foyer. A state-of-the-art sound system. Professional musicians, valet parking, to name but a few. You feeling jealous yet? You know, envy, Ten Commandments, remember that bit? Their services are perfectly timed and executed. Every word is pre-approved by the compliance committee. The service ends exactly 60 minutes after it starts. And everything is uploaded to the internet, and their podcasts have proved extremely popular, not least because a good 40% of the members have taken jobs or promotions that require them to work most Sundays. A couple of years ago, they asked for volunteers to staff some of their programs. But it seemed that everyone was just far too busy. So these days, every single task, from patrolling the car park, to welcoming visitors, to operating the sound desk, is a paid position. You get paid for it. It makes for a bigger budget, but it ensures that everything is done to the highest standards of professionalism. Since Cesare's prides itself on being a tolerant church, and all sorts of people attend, young and old, tall and short, black and white, thin and plump, married, single, cohabiting, LGB and T, doctors, lawyers, stockbrokers, and business tycoons, drug takers, drug makers, drug dealers and drug sharers, even people of other faiths, and don't get me started on which football teams they all support. Everyone is made very welcome at St. Cesare's, and nothing is ever said to make anyone feel in the slightest bit uncomfortable. One day a visiting preacher made a bit of a nuisance of himself by talking far too much about Jesus. He asked if people's lives had been transformed since he had started to follow Jesus. He even dared to use the expression, born again. He has not been invited to return. And then my fourth church, St. Isidore. Now, St. Isidore is not a perfect church. Sometimes, this will shock you, sometimes the musicians start a song in the wrong key. I know, unbelievable, isn't it? Sometimes the coffee is bitter or the tea too cool. Scandal, isn't it? Sometimes the preacher gets carried away and the service overruns by 10 minutes. Oh, I know, I know. The thing is, at St. Isidore, no one really seems to mind. They're eager to hear what God has to say through his word, and they can't get enough of being in God's presence. Last year, they baptized 20 people. Now, some were church teenagers, and the rest were people who had found Christ and learned to walk in his ways. The church doesn't even have a formal evangelism program. Church members have been taught to chat naturally about their faith, just like people chat about the rugby or about Strictly. People get involved in all sorts of social activities, from volunteering with the local food bank, to driving the community minibus, to running coffee mornings just for their neighbors. And with every act of kindness comes an opportunity to speak about Jesus. Recently, the leaders became aware that a large number of Chinese students had enrolled in their nearby university, and that some of these were Christians. And so they made their building available to host a Chinese church. And they've now seen scores of students attending choirs groups. And some of their church members have even started learning Mandarin. Wow. St. Isidore is not a perfect church. Sometimes believers get it wrong. Sometimes they fall into bad company and make rash decisions. But rather than turning a blind eye, God's people have learned the secret of building strong relationships one with another, so that when one person stumbles, the others have earned the right to come alongside and help. They are not perfect, but they get a lot of things right. Well, I hope you enjoyed my four word pictures. I hope they provoked you to reflect on what these four soils might look like in our culture and our era. Now, you might not necessarily agree with everything I've said, but listen, that is also okay. What is important, friends, is that we look at this parable with fresh eyes. And one of the dangers with the parable of the sower is that we think about it purely in terms of salvation. It's tempting to think, well, hold on, we belong to Jesus, so therefore we must automatically belong in the fruitful section, so we can listen to the other three bits, but actually we can kind of ignore them and wait until he gets on to the last bit. That's the temptation. But I would like us to take another look at these four soils and the responses they represent. I would like us to think about our own attitudes to the word, not just in terms of me and God, but rather in terms of you and me and God and the others out there. So, could someone please read for me verse 15? Don't be shy. Thank you very much. If you are sitting here listening to me today, then I presume the devil has not managed to snatch away the word of life. That said, you may be sitting in this church and you haven't been coming here for very long. It may be that you are still looking into the Christian faith. And I say that is a great thing to do. It's a really good thing to begin that process of investigating. But can I encourage you not to take too long thinking about it? Your next step may well be to take God at his word and then see what happens. And for the rest of us, how many times have we sat listening to sermons and our smartphones have found more interest, seemed more interesting than the message? Anyone ever done that? I have. I have sometimes got completely distracted and I'm on my smartphone and I start off, you know, I'm just checking something in some other version or something, and you get distracted and you're no longer listening. Very easy to do. How many times have we half snoozed through our Bible readings? It's open, the words are there, but actually we're half asleep. You see, it is not only in salvation that the devil seeks to snatch away the good seed. What about the rocky ground? Could someone please read for me? Thank you very much. Friends, it's very easy. It is all too easy to wear ourselves out in the service of God. Although truth be told, sometimes it is structures and rotas and people's expectations that we are serving rather than the master who says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we need to take time to recharge our spiritual energies. Back in my St. Janus story, the preacher urged the church to dig deep and tap into the resources offered by God's Holy Spirit. And then, when tough times come, we can find the strength to keep on bearing fruit. And when opposition does arise, and it will arise, in our own lives, in our work context, opposition will arise. But we still stand firm, not just me and God, but we stand firm because we are rooted together. Number three, the thorns. Again, someone to read for me, please. Thank you. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. The problem is that sometimes we try. Jesus also asks, what does it profit a man if he gains the entire world and yet forfeits his immortal soul? And it's so easy for each one of us to think that you need that new iPhone or that new plasma screen or that new car. But do we really? We need to keep a light, loose grip on money. And one of the ways that we ensure that we keep a loose grip on money is by giving it away. We need to learn the joy of giving generously. Now, that might be expressed in various ways, and this is not a pitch for giving more money to church. Yes, we give to church. That's important. It's an expression of our Christian faith. We give to God to allow that work to continue. But we also give to missions. We also give to charity. We should be known as people who are generous. When our friend or neighbor comes around asking for sponsorship, we should dig deep and show the extent of our love by sponsoring. Now, according to your ability, that might be a pound, that might be 20 quid, depends who you are, but we need to keep a loose grip on money by being generous. Because when we do that, when we keep a loose grip on our finances, you know what happens? Money loosens its grip on our lives. When we hold it really, really tightly, it holds us really tightly. And when we learn to be generous people, then it loosens its grip on our lives. And we learn to value what truly matters. And my last soil. Could have someone read for me, please? Thank you. You know, hearing God's word is not enough. We have to accept it. That's what it says. We have to accept God's word. We have to think about what it says, think about what it means, and then we have to put it into practice. And only then, when we have thought about it and put it into practice, only then does it begin to bear fruit. You see, it's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to be a fruitful Christian. So do think about how you spend your time and your money and your energy and your prayers. Let me say that again. Think about how we spend what we have, what's given to us. Is there a role in your local church you could be taking on? People are always coming up here and say, we need a new Sunday school teacher. We need a new person on the laptop. We're always asking for help. Is there something new you could do? Or something that perhaps in the past you used to do? Is there a relationship with a friend or a neighbor you could deepen? Is there a community group that you could give your support to? Or perhaps even a political campaign where you could make a difference? And if you've done all of that, have you learned to drink deeply from God's Holy Spirit so that service for him stays fresh and we avoid burning out? Now, it's true enough that spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, to some extent is internal. It's God changing me on the inside. But it's not all on the inside. It is through our words and our attitudes and our actions that people see our progress as Christians. They see the journey we are on. They can't just look at you and see how amazingly spiritual you are. It's what we say. It's our responses. It's what we do that shows people Jesus. And because they see our progress, then they want to know more about why we are different and what it is has transformed us. They want to know more about the Savior. Because fruitfulness needs to be visible. Well, I'm going to finish by reading to you a few more verses from this passage. Then we're going to pray together. I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. I'm aware I'm kind of reading backwards today. But Mark 4, 9 to 12 is after Jesus has told a parable. The disciples get together with him and they say, Lord, what does it mean? And then he goes on to explain. And in verse 9, it's recorded, then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And when he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So friends, let us be people who hear God's word and understand it. People who listen to his word and put it into practice. Can we pray? Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. And I'm going to give you a moment just to reflect upon my words and do business with God's Holy Spirit right now. I'll pray in a moment, but perhaps you sometimes recognize that you don't always pay attention and the devil steals that word. Perhaps you recognize that sometimes you need to go deeper into God because you get distracted and discouraged too easily. Perhaps you recognize that money and prestige and fame has too strong a grip on your life and you're not bearing the fruit you should. Or perhaps you recognize that actually you are bearing fruit, but that you want to be ever more productive in God's kingdom. So let's be quiet and listen to the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, have your way in our lives. As we continue to look through Mark's Gospel, continue to reflect upon the teachings and the practice of our Savior Jesus, then may we hear and perceive and put into practice all that is said. May we be stronger Christians. May we be stronger community. And may we serve those around us with integrity and with passion. That people would say, these guys are different. Why? Because they walk with the Savior. Grant us your grace this day. Amen.